When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You've seen her as the star of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. Now is your chance to see her live. Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life Tour.
It's time for you to ask, why not me? Why not me to be healthy? Why not me to be happy? Your health is the platform that your entire life is built upon. And when your health is solid, every aspect of your life will flourish. Join me as we motivate each other and maximize our lives.
Visit JillianMichaels.com for details.
I am.
So I'm busting outside of my area of expertise today.
You've been doing that a lot lately, and I'm very impressed. Very impressed. And also the fact that you say, I'm busting out of my area.
Well, I don't usually offer advice. It's just usually a discussion. But today, the love doctor is in.
Oh, no. We're not
going
to do... Yeah! Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm
ready to give some relationship advice. Oh. I gave a friend some advice the other day, and I thought it was good advice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hang on.
And since all three of you losers are single,
yeah.
I thought maybe I should, offer you some advice.
All right. I'm ready.
Okay. Ready? Because I was having a conversation with a friend the other day who's been terminally single. And it's like, I mean, and I was kind of looking at all the things that she does that show me why she's still single.
Right.
And then I thought I might address it with you three. And okay. I wonder if it helps. And for all of you out there who identify, listen up, because the doctor is in.
Oh, my God.
Okay, all right. Ready?
Yeah.
Get out of the door. You guys don't go anywhere. Where are you going to meet people?
Jake goes out.
Where are you going to meet people? Are you speed dating? Are you on Plenty of Fish? Are you going to, are you in a little running group with sexy singles?
I don't do any of those kind. I don't. I'd like to join I do take some classes, which I think is kind of putting yourself out there a little bit, but I don't.
You've said to yourself that it's at a college with 18-year-olds.
Yeah, I know.
Friggin' pedophile. I mean, dude.
Okay, granted,
sicko.
But at least I'm out with human beings, not just with my dog.
But
granted,
okay, but that is not looking for love. We're talking
this is true.
Looking for love in all the wrong places. You are looking for love in all the wrong places. You got to go where people who are single and like-minded are going to be. Get out of the frickin' house, like. And it's not a college with 18-year-olds, dude. It's like. People that are like-minded, that like the same things, go on those freaking websites. Do you know how many people I know have been married off of those things? I'm serious. Those Match.com.
But do you know how many have been fooled and you know?
But you get quote, fooled. Do you know how many times I was fooled and it wasn't off of a freaking dating website?
Yeah, that's true. I've been fooled many
times. Are you kidding me?
Okay, now take
that
back.
Oh, my God. I mean, how about the mogul real estate agent that was in debt to the IRS for $500,000. People lie all the time. And then you're like, wow, which is going to bring me to my next tip a little bit later. Okay. But my point is, like, you can't sit there and go, why am I not finding love? You got to get out of the house. And this applies for everything, though. Why am I not getting that job? Well, I mean, have you been networking? Have you been talking to people who are in the position to give it to you or in a similar position or who can educate you or make the connections you need? Have you been, you know, are you getting out there? Networking, same thing. That's right. What networking it is. Well, with dating, you got to network. You got to get out there. Ask your friends to set you up. Sign up on a website. It's with any goal, you got to put yourself out there to meet people.
Take the action. Let go of the result.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Number two, you got to kind of like, you got to let go of perfection. So you can't expect yourself to be perfect and you can't expect the other person to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I think we do that a lot. Either we need to be perfect. We, you know, 10 pounds from now, we're going to start dating, or, you know, when we get that job and when we're financially stable or when we're, you know, when we feel that we're presentable to the public, then we're going to start dating. Or conversely, the person that you date has to be perfect. Well, you know, they don't. I have one girlfriend who does this. You know, he doesn't have a good enough job. How's he going to support my kids? I'm like, dude, I mean, you'll find a way. And the guy doesn't make no money. You know what I mean? He's not like loaded. But I was like, do you like him? Is he funny? Do you have chemistry? Are you attracted to him? You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of like you got to loosen the bone a bit, Wilma.
Yeah.
And they don't even engage. It's like they'll look at, you know, OK, they'll put the person on paper and then say all the reasons that it won't work without ever taking a chance.
But you could look at that. But I hate that word. However, you could look at that as lowering your standards. Is that how you're looking?
I'm saying you got to go in with an open mind in the beginning. You can't just say, well, he doesn't make enough money. Well, how do you know? Is he opening his own business? What's his business going to do? Is he in debt? Is he, you know, I mean, like, you can't, it's not, the person's not always going to be perfect. Like, I look at my relationship and I'm not perfect with Heidi. And there are things with Heidi that are not perfect for me. You're not going to get everything from one person. That's what I mean. So, like, Heidi is a person that is loving, patient, intelligent, calm. You know, she's far more reasonable. She's very grounded. She's just that very grounding, calming, loving energy to the kids, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, but she's not going to be like Bob. So like Bob and I, you know, she makes me laugh and we have, you know, we have great dinner conversations, but like Bob and I will, you know, gamble until 4 a.m. together. Bob and I will burn each other's houses down. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, your relationship is very, for lack of a better term, it's very fiery. And
yes,
it goes all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we're madly in love. We're passionately fighting.
Right.
We're, you know, we're in heated screaming conversations. And it's like, I get that from him. And thank God I don't get it every day or we would kill each other. but it's like, I'm like, this part of my life I get from him. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
I do.
Heidi is not going to sit at a roulette table and say F red for 3 hours. You know, like, we are so stupid. Like, neither one of us, we're both in the black team. So we would not bet on red. I can't tell you how much money we lost. And we just kept doubling down on black as we were like, no, screw you. And Heidi would have been like, babe, we need to go. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so it's, my point is just that you're not going to get everything from one person. And the thing is, that's okay. That's why you have friends and this and that. And so, you know, your family relationships, your friendships, your coworkers. I think that you got to, like, you can't wait for yourself to be perfect and you can't look for another person to be perfect. And I think a lot of times people get, you know, there was this, not to compare people to, you know, things, but there was some study about having too many choices and how it really hindered people because they would sit there and be like, oh, well, oh God, if I get this choice, would that have been a better choice? Or if I take that job, should I have taken this job? And it comes down to, it's like, they sit there and they have this like regret of what if I'd gone down that path? What if I'd gone down? And they have a hard time just committing to something. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The grass is going to be greener where you water it, where you put in your energy. And you're going to know when something is good enough and when you're good enough. Does that make sense?
It does. No, it does. But doesn't it also open the door to what people are saying? I don't know if my shrink told me this. I'm going to tell my machine. She said, if you can't, you know, if you're having trouble in a relationship, then, and if you're missing that touch, and I don't mean to make this into sexual, but just have someone that you have sex with and let that be what it is. That's what I mean.
Whoa.
But just have that.
No one's telling anybody to be a whore here, Janet.
I didn't say whore. I said.
Whoa. We have probably a lot of good, respectable people in our audience.
Who like to have touch. If you're not with someone,
Janice.
I'm just saying that sometimes I'm not an advocate because I think everything can be in one package.
Janice.
I have the fantasy that everything, you can get everything out of one person.
No. And that's not fair to put on somebody
else. I'm realizing that. And that's what she's trying to teach me. Now, it's not that she's saying go out and be a whore. That's not what she's saying. That maybe I can't wrap my head around that. I have to have some kind of an emotional attachment if I'm going to get down.
I could never
to the love.
Yeah, I couldn't do that either. Yeah. I don't think a lot of women can do that because I think they are going to develop feelings for somebody.
I think that's
easier for men to do.
I agree.
Jake, look at Jake's face. No.
Not for me personally.
Really?
He's tender. He's tender vittles.
There's any time that I've had casual sex, it's like the most unfulfilling, and like in afterwards it's like actually wasn't really worth it. And because
Jake,
I develop feelings sometimes.
Somebody has a sensitive side that, you know, I don't know, I'm just saying, one of your parents did a good job. If my son said that, my head would blow off my body. I'm already like having these conversations with a 9-month-old. I'm like, you have to wear condoms. It has to be consensual. You always have to show respect, even when it's casual. Like, he's 9 months old. And I have these conversations with him, like, at least once a day. I teach him not to abuse his power.
But it is lovely. It is lovely because you're right. It is more of a, and that's, I hate to put that as an umbrella. It is more of a male thing, but you're right. Women would have a harder time. But Jake too.
It's more
sensitive.
It's so fulfilling when you find someone and you share feelings when you have sex, because it's
so
just like
fulfilling.
It feels good.
Jake is a love maker.
He's
cute. I don't know about Janice's tip on being a cheap whore.
No,
I'm not saying
that's a tip. I'm saying that. Aren't they doing studies now where it's becoming, to have a monogamous, to find that one thing is because, you know, look at it in Europe.
But
they have all kinds of people.
It shouldn't be one thing, though. I just think it's like I couldn't not be monogamous just simply because I've never seen it work, by the way, in people that aren't. Like, I've never seen it work because it's always one pair go off.
Yes.
And, you know, I've never seen
somebody gets hurt. You're right.
Never seen that work. With that said, you know, to each his own. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to live your life. But, and boy, did we digress, Janice. Three ways and
not,
polygamy.
No, not digressing.
And prostitution. And
digressing.
Whorishness.
You're saying that you're telling people to lower
I am not
standards.
Telling them to lower their standards.
I know,
I'm saying
I
that
know.
One person can't be
everything
to you.
So you can find it in a friend, not necessarily a sexual friend. You can find it, as
yes.
you find in Bob, that freedom to
exactly.
be.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, exactly. Now, this is where we move on to the next thing, which is you shouldn't compromise in that. If it's more bad than good, mm-hmm. then yes, you need to leave. And you need to recognize those red flags early, because let me tell you, they're always there. So don't think, I saw this, and this, but I can change them. No, that's not why you stay in. And I can't tell you how many friends have seen right away that the guy wasn't ready for the relationship, or, you know, was a player, or you know, was insensitive or whatever it might be, but thought that if they could be enough, mm-hmm. they would change him. They would make him want to settle down. It would make him more sensitive. They would make this man something that he's not, or woman for that matter.
Right.
And No, we can't do that. No one can do that.
And we always find out in hindsight.
Yes.
It's like,
and it becomes our issue of thinking that if we were good enough, we could mold them into being who we need them to be. And, or, you know, change them or save them or, you know, and it's always either you're saving them because they're destructive in one way or another, right? Or
however, you're changing people. You change people on the big, you change
I do not. No, I don't.
Okay. No, I know you're going to get me for that.
No, I put down information and it's their choice whether or not they want to pick it up. They got to pick up what I'm laying down. And if they don't, they don't. Nikki, perfect example.
Right. Okay.
And I specifically do not chase them,
yes.
as you may have noticed.
No, that's true. That's
I'm like,
true.
No, this has to be your choice and your decision. I will not, because if it isn't, it doesn't last.
Yep. No, you're right. I see what you're
saying. So, no, I do not change people. I put information out there that they can utilize to affect change, but they have to say, I want to change. I'm willing to change. I'll put in the work to change. I have changed.
So what you're saying then, in a relationship, if you see these red flags,
get out.
Don't even wait. Don't even let it simmer.
No, have a conversation. I see these things. I'm concerned about it. If it does not change, I say 3 months, beat it out of there. Mm-hmm. Get out. Stop trying to, like, because you're usually playing out some sort of pattern from your childhood.
True.
Like, you know, I was watching Nashville the other day, and she put this guy in rehab 5 times. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, girl. The second time, I'd have been like, good luck, go with God. And the point is, like, obviously she's trying to save this guy. Or, you know, and if she could be enough for him, then she'd be truly lovable. Or making the player settle down or whatever it might be. When you see those flags, get out. I got really good at that later in life. I did that 1 7-year really awful relationship where I thought I could be enough. Grew up and got out of it and never did it again.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, no. Out.
Yep.
So if you see the red flags, you know, that's where you don't settle. That's when it's like, okay, I truly can't live like this.
Yep.
If it's an abusive situation or something that makes you miserable, like, you know, Heidi not gambling with me until 4 a.m. because she always passes out at 8:30. That's who she is. Do you know what I mean? Like, and the kids have made it a lot harder on her. So, you know, she goes to bed at like 8:30 at night, whereas Bob and I are going to be like, she was in bed. We were up until 4 a.m. You know what I mean? And
that's cool.
But
that's...
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
I don't need her to be up partying with me till 4 a.m. You know what? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Like, there's a part of me sometimes. I'm like, come on, babe, let's go. And she, you know, and she'll sit there like a good sport, but she's dying. And then I'm like, okay, go home, go night night. And she goes, you know,
go
what I'm
night,
like,
go,
okay,
night,
go night night. Go ahead, go night night. She's like, oh, thank God.
Funny.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do.
She just, that's not who she is, and mm-hmm. that's okay. And like, I can do that with other friends. You know, my friend Jeanette is like that. Bob is like that. That's okay. That's not like a sacrifice or something that's hurting my soul or my spirit or a true
does
loss.
It hurt hers? Does it affect? I mean, I know you can't speak for her inside voice, but does that hurt? Do you think it does?
If I stay out with Bob, now she doesn't care. She's glad to have the bed to herself. She wants to go night night. But that bitch wants quiet. She is tired. She's got 2 dogs and 2 kids and a bird
and a
me
bird.
Yapping like crazy and all of us never shut up. No.
Okay.
Our sweet little sister just wants to go night-night with quiet.
Okay.
No. She's like,
see, because if you have a seed, if you have a little seed inside you that, you know.
But you can also communicate and say, I need this from you. But you know when something's a red flag.
Yeah. No. No. Okay. We won't beat it.
Okay. Now, one last thing, and it sort of like touches on some of the others, but I have one friend who does this, and I've watched her do it a million times. She falls in love with being in love.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's in a relationship after 1 week. They're boyfriend and girlfriend. They're spending the holidays together. They're getting married. She's talking. We're all just like,
Oh, that's a great way to put
you've
it.
You've known this guy for 2 weeks. Hello. And, you know, she's a little older. She's in her 40s. She wants kids. And so everything is mm-hmm. like, we're fast tracking this thing. And she's like, well, we both want the same things. And I'm like, but dude, you know, hello, like, do you know what he does? Like, have you met his family? Like, you know, you don't really get to see, I don't think you really get to see the real person for at least 3 months. At least.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're all so busy putting on airs of,
for
like,
sure, we're putting our best,
yeah, best foot forward. You don't really get to see, you know, the insecurities, the uglier side of people. And we all have that ugly, insecure side. And, you know, it's like, don't fall in love with being in love. Then, because you waste time doing that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like you chase these things that aren't meant to be. So, yes, you shouldn't, you should give people a chance. Like, oh, here's another friend of mine won't date short guys. I'm like, dude, there are a lot of great guys out there that are short. And so give the short guy a chance. Give him a chance. And so I want you to open your mind, but I also don't want you to be in love for the sake of being in love, because you feel you need to be in love, or you like the thought of being in love, or you don't want to be alone, or you want to have kids and need to move it along.
You know, and we've talked about this before. It's when you say about drinking, when you say you romanticize the drink, and if you don't want to drink anymore, all you think about is, oh, but then you're sitting at the bar with a cosmopolitan or whatever you drink, you know, and there's just that atmosphere, and there's something very romantic about that.
God,
a glass
I'm
of
not
wine.
I've never been an alcoholic, and I totally feel that way.
A glass of wine with my partner. How are we going to have that romantic dinner without sharing? And then they say, and we've talked about this too, think it through. So you go, okay, romanticize the drink. Okay, I'm there. And then I'm going to have too much. And then I'm probably going to throw up. And then I'm going to lose my shoe. And then I'm going to crash my car. And then 8 sailors later.
Yes.
Right? We've talked about that.
Oh, my God. So, I had one friend that was an alcoholic, and it was a brutal, I mean, she would lose her wallet, her keys, her shoe. I love everything. You would get home, blot out, and not know what happened. And we all had to, like, have an intervention. We were like, dude, we're worried. We're worried that you're going to get picked up on the streets and something horrible is going to happen to you. Like, you're cruising around New York like this. This is not okay.
But it starts out with being in love.
Oh,
with,
yeah. Wanting to have a bottle of wine with her friends.
Yep. So it's truly the same. Being in love with being in love. It's like having the drink just to have the drink. It's funny.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Being in love with being in love, and it's not really love.
No.
At all.
And then you waste a ton of time.
Yeah.
And I've watched her run through 4 different men, and I'm like, Jesus. If you...
Yeah.
Honey, come on. You know? So, anyway, that's my best... Who's
who's
a good romance person? That's my best... there's romance sex therapy person. People. Who's a good relationship coach?
Maybe this is your new calling.
Oh.
The love doctor.
I have zero credentials. But
you have life.
I do.
You've been in love a couple of times.
You need to have some form of expertise before you start giving advice. Although today I had no problem.
Today
I jumped right in.
I think there's some areas in life where you're already an expert just by living life.
Yeah.
The love doctor. Maybe we should make this a regular segment on the show.
The love doctor's in.
I'm going to write
Let's
that
call
down.
Heidi and see how she feels about that.
Okay. Where's my phone?
No.
Okay.
Hang on.
About you being the love doctor?
I wonder if she thinks I'm qualified. This is going to be very telling.
Oh, good.
Okay. Let's see if I can reach her. I don't know where she is.
Maybe you shouldn't tell her that she's on the air. Maybe you should just say, have it pretend it's like you're driving somewhere.
Okay.
And then she'll say, oh, hi.
Okay.
And then you just say,
She's got this new thing where she doesn't answer her phone, and it pisses me off. See? Oh, you see, she's doing it. She's not answering her phone.
It's something wrong to her.
Hello?
Honey!
Yes?
Hi, babe. I have a question. Babe?
Yeah, I'm here.
I have a question. Okay. I'm thinking of doing a segment on the show that's like a regular segment called The Love Doctor is In. And I know it's not my specific area of expertise, but I feel like I'm qualified. What do you think?
To be a love doctor?
Yeah. Janet, stop laughing. Yes.
In what capacity?
Not the sex, not the Dr. Ruth, but not like a Dan Savage sort of situation, but like
relationship issues.
Like a love counselor.
Like relationship issues.
Yes, because I feel like I'm good at that.
You do that anyway in real life, yes.
I do it anyway with our friends, right?
Every dinner, yes.
So you think I can do this? You have no, you don't have any reservations? Because once you say yes, I will feel like I am fully vindicated and have complete and total permission to just run rampant. Thanks, babe.
Heidi.
Okay,
love you. Huh? There you go. The gloves are off, people.
She's so kind to you.
What are you talking about?
She's very kind.
No, I'm a genius. You heard All her. Right. At every dinner, I have to fix somebody's love problem.
That was funny. Yeah. Every dinner. All right. Well, yeah. Then, well, when we... We'll see. Maybe we'll have to ask our audience if they really, truly believe. And we will have a regular segment, maybe once every, not every week.
Okay.
Because that'll just be too much. But we maybe once a month we'll have the Love Doctors in.
Okay.
Maybe we can have people asking questions.
Oh!
Specifically just with love.
Yeah, I'm going to put that
up. Not with health
today.
And fitness.
Yeah.
But with...
How do I... Good. Yes.
All right. All right. So you work on that. Thank you for bringing lunch, Brittany.
Yeah,
thanks,
delicious.
Brittany.
No problem.
Hey, Britt. We're doing a whole new thing.
A whole new thing, dude.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's called The Love Doctor is in.
What?
Yeah.
The Love Doctor.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to start it now.
No, let's do it now. We're on a roll.
We've just discovered that this is a gift you have.
No, we didn't just discover it. I've always known. You just discovered it. I think we need to bring this to the public. Let's take some calls on this.
Wait, I'm confused.
I'm a relationship expert.
Oh, gosh.
While you missed the first segment, that Jillian discovered that she...
I have a gift.
...is gifted in the relationship department and being able to guide people... And she would like to do a new segment called The Love Doctor is In. No, not just The Love Doctor.
Is In.
The Love Doctor is In. That's the whole title.
We need to get her a shirt.
I know! That's what I said. I see a whole line of merchandising, a new show, books.
Books!
Yeah! I'm just saying.
Workout DVD for people.
Oh.
A workout.
Well, that's already implied. Yeah.
So what she did, what she did immediately was she put out a little notice saying, hey, on the,
Twitter.
The Twitter, anybody want some love advice?
Yeah.
And she's already gotten many responses.
Yeah,
so.
I have over 5,000 responses.
So.
Oh, no, you poor people.
Yeah.
You poor people.
No. Listen, you have to understand. That the same set of tools that you utilize to accomplish any goal in life are going to apply. So it's
How
the same
mean?
Skill set. Well, let's see. If you're pursuing a relationship, if you're pursuing a career change, if you're pursuing a healthier body, all the tools that you need to engage in order to achieve it are going to be the same. It's all about education, vulnerability, communication. Yeah, I got this. I got this.
No, I suppose that's true. All right. So wait. Okay, hang on.
Yeah. Here's this chick, Natalie. I like this.
All right.
She got cheated on. I can handle this.
Oh, God. Okay, hang on.
Let's get her on the phone. I know. I'm going to fix this. Don't you worry. Love Doctor's in.
Love Doctor is in.
Yeah.
Okay, Jake, here's the number. Okay. All right. Oh, this poor girl. Well, it's not poor girl. She wants the help.
She wants help. Okay. And I am here to help.
Because the Love Doctor is in.
The Love Doctor is right here, Janice.
Jake, we're going to have to find some... Love Doctor.
We'll get some gear going.
Will we?
Yeah. Some music.
We'll special.
Bound chicka wow wow.
It's just, it is a bound chicka wow wow.
That's a general consensus. We're gonna do that.
Bound chicka wow.
Here we go.
Where's
Natalie?
Come on, bud. Come on, Nat. Come on, buddy. That's me.
Hello.
Ha ha.
Is that Natalie?
Poor Natalie.
Yes, it is.
Natalie, I'm sorry this is kind of a little bit shocking for you, but it's Janice from the Jillian Michaels Show calling?
Oh, my goodness. Hi.
Hi. Jillian's waiting to talk to you. Hang on a second. The love doctor is in.
Yeah. Natalie, hi. How can I help?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I wrote in, and I saw that you wanted to talk, like, relationship problems, whatever.
Yes, I'm trying to prove a point that all of these issues are all related. So whether you're struggling with a health issue or an emotional issue or a professional issue, that they're all related and we can apply a similar skill set. And I, of course, have a talent for this. And I'm just now starting to really explore how gifted I am in this area. And I'm willing to bet that I can help you walk away today, Natalie, feeling better.
Well, here's my thing. I was in a relationship, and we were very much in love,
okay. And
we were engaged and planning our life together.
Okay.
And they cheated on me. Mm. And they ended the relationship. I no longer speak to that person, but
I can't say I blame you.
I just feel an overwhelming cloud of just disappointment and darkness, like, following me with everything that I do, and, like, mm-hmm. In the last few years, I've lost a lot of weight, and I'm trying to get back into that healthy mindset, but I can't help everything that I try and do. I just feel disappointment, and I say, you know what, why bother? I wasn't good enough for that person, and everything I do doesn't really count, and nothing's going to be good enough.
Honey, why do you presume that it was you were the problem? Why do you not think that maybe they had a problem? How come it's you?
I just assume it's me.
But, sweetheart, you see, here's the similarity. Ready? So you've got a kid that grows up in a home, and the parents have issues, and they project their issues onto a kid, and the kid internalizes it and grows up feeling like, I'm the problem, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, weight issues. Now, you just told me that you lost a lot of weight, but you're still contending with that same issue of, obviously it's me, mm-hmm. obviously I wasn't good enough, instead of stopping and asking yourself, hey, maybe I attracted somebody that had some issues.
Like, right.
So first, let's look at this, okay? Here's my first question. Be honest with me, and that's okay if I'm off base. I'm just fishing a little bit to see where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
Did this person ever give you any indication of being flighty, of being dishonest, of having intimacy issues? Were there any red flags?
Yes.
Ha-ha! Hold on. Aha! So right away, you got involved with a person that had intrinsic issues. And you thought, well, I can change them. I can be good enough. Right. Which, what do I always say on the show? You can't change somebody.
Yeah.
They
right.
have to hit rock bottom. They've got to make a decision to change. But what we do very often is so now watch. Ready? I'm going to show you how she's repeating a pattern, which is, I'm drawing parallels here, bud, which is exactly what we do with our weight. Okay? So you're now going into this situation thinking that if you're thin enough because you've lost weight, and if you're good enough and you're loving enough and you're smart enough and you're funny enough, that you're going to make all those red flags go away and you're going to change this person, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to bet that you are repeating a pattern with this person, that this person is reminiscent of somebody or has made you feel a certain way that somebody in your past made you feel. Can you, like, how did you feel around this person? Did you feel insecure? How did you feel?
I felt on cloud nine. I felt like I finally found the person who understood me and got everything about me. And just, I thought I found the other piece to my puzzle.
Okay, but what did the red flags make you feel?
Nervous. I mean, I felt like I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Okay. And you were waiting for them to disappoint you and abandon you. Okay. Now, where else at a younger age did you feel either emotionally abandoned, physically abandoned, unstable with regard to your worth?
I don't know. I feel like I've had a very normal and very happy childhood and life, and
Okay, hang on. Did you ever feel like you were trying to be a people pleaser, trying to be good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, honey, that comes from somewhere. So if you're trying to be a people pleaser, you're in that good enough pattern again.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, let me be everything you need. And then am I good enough to be loved? Hold on, let me put on all these airs. Let me be as perfect as possible. Then do you love me? So where did the people pleasing start?
I've been that way for as long as I can remember because it was the way I could make friends when I was younger and I was overweight.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. So now you're sort of going, all right, well, I'm overweight, so let me overcompensate and be everything you need and then try to win you over.
Right.
Okay. Did anybody ever, was there ever any sort of emotional withdrawal? You know what? Hold on. Let's go back to another question. Why do you think that you had kept the weight on or put the weight on?
I just think I didn't care. And I think I just grew up in a house where we never really talked about nutrition and I never really thought about it. And I was an active kid, but I figured I did enough that it didn't matter. And
you can't say you didn't care though, because you're telling me that you were a young kid who felt you had to like perform because you were overweight and unlovable. So you did care.
Right.
So there's got to be another reason that that weight was on. And so did you have parents that were overweight or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, all right, sweetie. And how did they respond when you lost the weight?
They were super proud of me and they just keep on telling me to keep going. And that, I mean, when I was growing up and I was heavier, I was always, My parents would always say, if you lose weight, we'll buy you clothes. If you lose weight, we'll give you money.
Oh, no. Oh, God. All right. So let's talk about that for a second, okay? Here's how that is usually interpreted by a young child. We'll do anything if you'll change who you are.
Right.
Okay. So parents do that because they feel insecure like they're a bad parent. And they can't tolerate the feeling of thinking, I'm failing my kid, my kid's unhealthy. Everyone thinks I'm a crappy parent. So what you're seeing are the parents' insecurities, honey, feeling like they're not doing a good job. And then they're turning around and saying, we'll do anything, you know, we'll do all these things if you'll change. And what you're hearing is, oh, my God, we will do anything if you will be different. Okay.
Right.
So you now have internalized that and it's like, well, I need to change. I need to, you know, I need to lose this weight or I need to be different for my friends to like me. My parents are concerned in this way and it makes you question, am I good enough the way that I am? So you've got this pattern that I'm seeing where it's constantly like Natalie needs to change. Natalie needs to be, you know, Natalie on crack. Natalie squared. Oh. Natalie needs to be everything to everybody. So now you get involved in a relationship with somebody where you see red flags. And there's the threat of abandonment, like you felt with your friends. And I'm very gently going to say unconsciously, like I imagine you must have felt with your parents, like you're disappointing them by being overweight.
Right.
Okay. So you've now got this guy. And what we do is we play out these patterns. And we say, all right, you know, I'm this old pattern from my past. I'm going to play this out and I'm going to hope for a different result. And if I can get that different result, then I've conquered this beast. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And okay. So you now have started to date somebody who is pretty much triggering all those old feelings for you. And then what happens, honey? What happens?
They abandon me.
Right. Right. But what I'm trying to show you is that you attracted a person who had that in them because you were hoping you could change them and you'd be enough this time. And if you were enough this time, you would have beaten all those childhood demons that made you feel not good enough. But here is the solution to this. So now guess what we've done? We've now got a little situation where we've attracted that person, we played it, we repeated the pattern, it ended the exact same way, and you go, aha! It doesn't matter whether I've lost the weight or not, I am still worthless.
Right.
And, I here we are again, this is how I've always felt, now I'm skinny and it happened, oh my God. But what you need to understand is that it wasn't about you as a kid. It wasn't about you as an adult. It's about the other person and whatever insecurities and whatever issues are going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever, like, for example, with the parents, it's not because they don't love you. It's not because they didn't love you exactly the way that you were. They felt like they were failing you. And the feeling was intolerable. So they were like, oh, my God, we'll do anything if you'll lose weight because we can't stand to feel like we might be bad parents. Not because you're not lovable, but as a kid, you're like, oh, my God, I'm not lovable, which is, or like, I have to change. You know, I'm embarrassing my parents. I'm disappointing my parents. You know, okay. Which is exactly what you're doing in this past relationship. So here's what needs to happen. Number one, I need you to understand that that person that you were in love with, who the flags you saw from the beginning, that's because that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you're not going to be the first or the last person that they do that with. Because that's who they are, honey.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that's a player, the guy that's a cheater, or the girl that's a player and the girl that's a cheater, all my friends who've been through that dynamic, they get out of the relationship and the person did it to their ex and they do it to the future person.
Right.
That's who they are. So what you need to know is that this is not about you not being good enough. This is who they are and their own dysfunction. And when you see those red flags, you know how the situation changes and you know how the pattern heals? You have to be aware and go, oh, my God, here we are again.
Uh-huh.
I feel nervous. I feel unstable. I don't feel secure in this. And I feel like I'm constantly trying to win this person over and be good enough. Here we are again. Here's the pattern. Now, how does it change? You leave.
Mm-hmm.
You leave. You get out of that dynamic. And you wait. And as you get healthier and as you get stronger, you're going to attract somebody that loves you. And whatever issue and dysfunction they have, you'll be able to work through it. Because all relationships are dysfunctional. But it's like you'll be able to communicate and you'll be able to work through it. And it'll come out healthy, more healthy than unhealthy, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
So that is where this needs to change. Number one, awareness. And number two, the knowledge that the only way to change the pattern is for you to change. They're not going to change. You have to change. And that's how this cycle shifts. And then the other piece of this, the part of you that's been dancing around with your hair on fire for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you're being their best day, right? Like, hold on, let me do this for you and that for you and this for you and that for you and this for you and compensate and be your best day, right? Yes?
Right.
Okay. When do you do that for you?
Never.
Okay. That's the second part of your problem.
Yep.
So I've told this story before. I've written about it, and I've talked about it on the show. I'm in therapy, and Brittany's looking at me. You've heard this story.
So I'm almost and I can identify. That's why she got my attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm in therapy, and I'm bitching, right? Because I'm like, I give everything to everybody, and nobody ever gives anything to me. And I was feeling bitter about it. I was feeling depleted. I was feeling resentful. And my shrink was like, you know what you need to do? You need to date yourself. And I was like, oh, for God's sake. I don't want to hear that. I'm not going to, what are you talking about? I'm not going to hold my own hand and have, you know, pina coladas walking down the beach with myself. Like, that's not a solution for loneliness is date yourself. You know, I was like, I'm talking about real problems, man. And he goes, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. And he was like, everything that you're doing for everyone else, if you took all of that energy and you put it into you, you bought yourself the flowers, you said the nice things to yourself, you got yourself, you know, you saw the movie you wanted to see. Because think about it, like, what movie, oh, whatever movie you want to see, honey, whatever you want to eat for dinner, honey. Oh, you like watching CSI? Okay, honey, put a bullet in my brain, put a bullet in my brain, put a bullet in my brain. You know, like, but you're like, but you're so beautiful, babe. I love you. Oh, honey, you're so smart. And you get, you know, you do all these nice gestures and all these sweet things. And you're as loving as possible. And when you turn that energy inward and you start saying those things to yourself and doing those things for yourself and making that time for yourself and saying, I'm getting myself a manicure pedicure today. Why? Because I friggin' deserve it. That money is going on into me. That time is going into me. That energy is going into me. When you do that, gradually, I promise you, A, you will start to feel more deserving and more worth it because you are practicing this new behavior and you'll get more comfortable with it over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it, of course, in ways that are life affirming. B, you will feel more fulfilled. So you won't be looking for someone else to come in and give you all the things that are missing. Those things are missing because you're not giving them to yourself. Right. And my shrink was like, even if the right person did come along, you'd still be unhappy because you're so depleted. If you give to yourself and you feel fulfilled and you feel like, I had my time at the gym today, I got my massage today, I blah, 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 then whatever, you know, the good enough relationship is going to come along and what they're going to provide is going to be enough. You need to start with those two things. So number one, I need you to really look at your past and the people in it and this particular person who made you feel this way. You saw these flags and you still engaged. And you engaged because you thought if you could change it, you would heal. The way you heal is the minute you see that pattern, leave. Leave. And you care for yourself and you give to yourself and you love yourself in the way that you've been loving everybody else your entire life. And I promise you, Natalie, you will see a shift.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And this other person, honey, they didn't deserve you to begin with. Their loss. And it really is. And they'll do it again and again and again. Watch. Just watch.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll get involved with somebody who rejects them and they'll play out that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I promise. Trust me. I'm the love doctor. I'm the all-knowing love doctor. All right, buddy.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye, Natalie.
Bye. Thank you.
See the parallels?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Repetition compulsion. All of it. It's all there. All those tools that you use to help people change, they're all the same. No matter what aspect of your life you're trying to change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe I should get into money next.
Oh, no.
No, I don't even know how to deal. Yeah, no.
No.
Seems a little more complicated.
Wait a minute.
We'll stick with Susie on that.
Didn't you have a New Year's resolution about that?
Maybe being more responsible with money. Yeah. Well, that's complicated. That money stuff's a science. Maybe we'll just stick with the love doctor.
Yeah, the love doctor is in.
Yeah, we'll call Susie for the money stuff.
Yeah, we'll stick with that. And we'll continue to call Dr. V for any kind of surgery because
the medicine thing. You need a medical degree for that. There is some science there too.
There's some science there too. Granted, I think you are a wealth of information about keeping a healthy body.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd want you to perform surgery. I don't know if I want you to do my appendectomy. That's all.
Yeah, and I don't really like the sight of blood either. So
yeah, that's true. You have a hard time.
I could pass out.
Okay.
Or maybe puke in your guts or something.
Oh, that'd be awful. Nice. Hey, where'd this come from? Oh, Jillian just did surgery on me.
Yeah.
Very good. Well.
Yeah.
This is very interesting.
It's a gift.
It is a gift, and I think... Well, we'll see when the love doctor's back in. I'm not sure when the love doctor will be back in, but I have a funny feeling it's going to be sooner than later.
The love doctor is very available.
So as for now, though, the love doctor is now out.
Oh.
For now. No, it was in.
America's toughest trainer is back.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.